Right, here we go.
Do both of us look all right on your screen?
Yes, both of us look stunningly gorgeous on my screen.
Then there is something very wrong with my camera.
I'm actually looking at a completely different website at the moment, so that would
Ah,
explain
damn
it.
it.
Right, serious face on. Ah, don't bother with that. Just put your normal face on. Right, here we go.
You're going to clip that bit for the graphic, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, 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 hello, welcome back, welcome to another episode. I have a guest who is returning, a returning guest this time. This is actually the third time he's been on. He was in an episode on series one. We had him back for series two. So, of course, we had to have him back for series three. I'm referring to none other than the awesome Paul Newton. For those of you who haven't come across Paul before, do check out his other two episodes. I'll pop the links to those in the show notes for this episode. Paul is he's creator of Mental Theft, which we talked about in depth in series two. So Paul's the creator of Mental Theft. He's a magician, he is a mind reader, and he is a hypnotist. It's true. For years, he's made his living using skills to entertain and to mess with people's heads at parties, weddings, corporate events, and stage shows. It was whilst he was stealing pins. That's pins as in codes, not pins as in things holding dress the bride's dress up, and other secure personal details at a military event, that it was pointed out just how much impact he could have. And they said to him, Paul, have you thought about the security implications your skills could have on most of the organizations in this country, maybe even in the world? Fortunately for us, Paul decided to use his skills for good rather than evil, and that's where Mental Theft was born. Paul is an extremely protective person. He loves to keep people safe from nasty people, and now he gets to help people understand the threats and to put them in touch with people and solutions that can keep them safe, both in the physical world and increasingly in the online world, not just us as individuals, but corporates and beyond. That is my guest today, Paul Newton. Hey, Paul, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, thank you, buddy. How are you?
Oh, all the better for having you on. Series three didn't feel right without a Paulie episode, I have to say.
Mate, do you know what? I don't even care if you're lying. It makes my ego feel good. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So, yeah, we've had, as I say, we've had Paul as a guest a couple of previous episodes. And I thought it would be nice to explore a little bit more about Paul himself and his journey. I mean, in the first episode that we had him on, we were talking a lot about confidence and stage fright and stage confidence, etc. In the second one, we talked about mental theft and what that's about, and some of the scams that are out there where people are attempting to rip people off. But I thought, because I know a bit more about Paul because we've been mates for a few years now, we talk pretty much every week. Poor Paul. We talk pretty much every week. I wanted to get Paul to tell us a bit more about how he came to be the magnificent human that he is today. So, Paul, this is your chance to take us on a journey from baby Paul to mental theft, Paul.
Honestly, it's weird because hearing somebody that I trust and love to bits do a description of what I'm up to, I often sit there going, oh, and that's me. What the hell? When did all that happen? And even the journey I've been on for the last few years, it's just been a weird ride, mate. So I don't know. It's when you consider that young Paulie, that youngster, I was actually, and we talked about this a bit on the confidence one, I was a really shy and scared kid. you know? And then last week, I was jumping on stage at Accountex in front of hundreds of accountants and doing magic tricks and scaring the bejesus out of them with some security stories. It's weird, mate. So I think I get my love of entertainment and musicals and stage from my mum. Because when my mum first got together with my dad, she was a dancer. And she was a professional dancer, did some club stuff and did some great shows and things like that. And when I started getting into theatre, she absolutely loved it. And she really did push it and help me with that. And then my... I was about to say my love of, that would be a lie. I will say my love of being an entrepreneur, because what I was about to point out is my real dislike of having a boss. And I'm not good. The last proper job I had was amazing. And I was working for a company, I'll name drop them, Thomas International. They do psychometrics and assessments for people in corporates, and they were brilliant. The absolutely perfect job for Paul Newton, because they let me control my diary. It was really interesting work. We helped lots of people, and I loved it. But I honestly think if you need to be a business owner and you need to have complete control of what you do, then you've got to get out there and do it yourself. Mm. I mean, don't get me wrong. When I walked away from the corporate world, having the backing of my wife, were we married then? No, we weren't married when we made that choice. So having the backing of my partner back then, who is now my wife, and her saying, you've got to go out on your own, because if you don't do it now, you'll be kicking yourself forever. The right things lined up at the right times. And I honestly believe I'm a very lucky boy, as in I keep managing to have the right people around me. You're one of those people, Keith. Jesse's one of those people. Some of the people who invite me to be on their shows. Some of the people who, you know, the Accountex team, when they took a chance on me when I was unknown. And then, you know, I traveled all the way up to Manchester for them to trial me for a keynote. And that ended with the whole company talking about me doing keynotes for all of their events.
Nice.
Mate, it's a weird and wonderful ride that now says Paul Newton is a speaker, an author, and a magician. What the hell?
I totally get what you mean. Sometimes we don't just take the time to stop and go, this is what I do now, because we're still kind of thinking what we used to do when we were growing up. We tend not to allow ourselves to realize, hey, I have actually grown up. I am sure. This. I do this now.
No, not grown up. It can't happen.
No. Never been.
And then, do you know what? I had it last week. I had one of those moments again when somebody came up to me with my book and they asked me to sign it. And I actually said, why? And then they kind of looked at me, thanks. They looked at me really dumbfounded and went, because you're the author?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, all right then. And I did. I signed it. It still freaks me out. And I did a talk a little while ago where Jesse happened to be in the audience because he was doing something there for his work, which meant it was the first time that I could actually go, ladies and gents, I'm the author of Mental Theft. But for the first time ever, I can also say my co-author is in the room, and there he is. His name's Jesse. And I literally saw him just kind of go into rabbit in headlights moment. The audience have all looked at me. He's not really been part of that side of it, because he always does proper work stuff at those times.
Yeah.
But yeah, how weird is that? That annoying little magician kid from Hayes, West London, is now an author and a keynote speaker for some, frankly, massive events.
Mm.
It's weird.
So let's go back and explore that. So you started, you worked in theatre. Did you start off in theatre, or did you start off with magic, or where did it all begin?
I think I started with magic first, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure it's a Paul Daniels magic set when I was about 6 or 7. And I can still remember looking up at grown adults and you know when I'm going to put this as carefully as I can, because I'm sure anyone that deals with a child of any type, when they say, I'm going to do a magic trick, or I'm going to sing a song, or I've got a poem I want to listen to, or I'm going to do your drawing, I'm sure that whatever they do is always amazing and perfect and the best thing you've ever seen. Okay? Right.
Gotcha. Right.
So now imagine this little version of Paulie that had hair and everything. Okay.
Now that's a stretch too far. Come on.
Okay. All right. So we can have bald 7-year-old Paulie. And yeah, you know, I'd turn around to my parents' friends and go, "Can I do a magic trick?" And you'd see the faces do the yeah, of course you can. That'll be nice. That'll be lovely. And then you do the trick, and then they go, "What the? What? How did? Eh?" Or just the gasp or the shock. And then they'd look at my parents like they must have been in on it or something. And my parents would be going, "We don't know. we don't know how he's. We don't know." Because Paul read in the little booklet in the Paul Daniels set that he's not allowed to tell the secret, so he won't even tell us. and you know, I can remember as a kid going, "Wow, if I can get grown adults to be shocked, and I'm a kid, that's impressive." And that was the start of my love for instant. Because like I said before, mate, I was a shy kid. And I used to hide behind magic tricks, and I'd hide behind my parents, and I'd hide behind my bigger brother and things like that. But then I got into theatre. I got into musical theatre and youth theatre groups when I was, I think, a young teenager. And I kind of got pushed into one because of an ex-girlfriend, which, by the way, was a really bad move on her part. Because I walked into this theatre group. I went into it with one of my mates, young teenager, quite like girls quite a lot. And I get pulled into this theatre group that has got 6 guys in it in total, and that's including me and my mate. And out of those 6 guys, 3 of them were definitely gay. Me and my mate were not. And the rest of it was gorgeous women.
It must have been hell for you. I don't know how you
could. I know. Tough days. Tough days. And if any of those people that I ever did any of those youth theatres were in, if any of them listened to this, I stand by that 100%. All of the girls there were stunning. It was just amazing. Okay? And I remember being pushed into doing an audition, and I got a lead part.
Nice.
And then as shows roll on, and I didn't tell many of my school friends that I was in these shows, one day I'm now turning about 16, I think, 16, 17-ish. No, it must have been 16 because I was still at school. And I had a main part in West Side Story musical at quite a big theatre local to where I lived. And I'm doing the show, and I had the part of Diesel. And if anyone knows the stage version of the show, he's the main fighter for the Jets. He's got quite a few lines, and he gets quite a few good songs as well. G Officer Krupke, he takes one of the main parts in there. I loved it. Okay. And I can remember this part where I had to run from backstage, launch myself over this fence that had been made on stage, land in the middle of the stage, and then get into a stage fight with someone. Okay. So this is not the Paul Newton that went to school. Paul Newton that went to school was shy and quiet and didn't say boo to a goose, really. He was funny and he'd get out of things by being funny, but Paul Newton was not strong fighter at school. So I've done this move that I'd been taught and choreographed and flipped over this fence, landed on the stage, get into this stage fight, really into it, finished the whole show. And I look into the audience. I can remember we were in this like semicircle where Maria and Tony are embracing, and it's all very heartfelt. And it's the moment when everyone realizes that everyone in the whole show is just a complete git, really. It's because of all of them that these two people who should have been together were just torn to pieces. And I remember standing on stage left and being one of the furthest forward people. And I've looked into the audience where you're meant to be doing the look of realization. And I look into the audience, and one of the girls from my school, who was one of the popular girls, was sat in row 4. And she's just sat there looking at me with her jaws hitting the floor. And you can see she's doing the, that is Paul Newton. What the hell? And I've seen her and just gone, uh-oh. I think my two completely different worlds have just collided. This is going to get weird. I walked out from that show. So, you know, you go backstage, you get makeup off, you change into your civvies. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, I hope she's not out there. I hope she's not out there. Because you've got to go through the foyer to get out. And I've come walking through the foyer, and you had to go past this bar bit. And I'm now thinking, she won't be there. She's not going to be there. I don't know if there was anyone else from school there as well, but she won't be there. It'll be fine. And I'm going past the bar. I start to walk past the foyer, and I just hear like 5 or 6 girls shout, Paul. And I go, ah, no. But the theatre group, I was quite popular and got on board with everyone and loved it there. At school, I was quite hidden, didn't do too much, didn't want to put myself in front of things too much, wanted to stay just with my mates, and that was it. So yeah, 5, 6 girls that were all from my school and all in the popular bunch are now calling me over into the middle of this foyer. And I've stopped and gone, okay. Gone walking over and gone, you all right, guys, how's it going? Did you enjoy the show kind of thing? Thinking, just get out of this. And they were going, you can dance. Yeah, it's a musical, you kind of have to. And you can sing. Yeah, it's a musical, you kind of have to. And, you know, and they're going, no, but you're really good. And I was like, thanks, that's lovely. And as I'm having this conflict in my head of these people don't know me like this, I need to find a way out of this situation. Then a bunch of the girls from the theatre group came out, and a bunch of the lads from the theatre group come literally bowling out of backstage and just go, Paul, we're going to go and have a party. You're coming. And I kind of get swept up. And I'm now just going, I'll talk to you lot another time. And mate, my two worlds did absolutely collide. I now all of a sudden had these girls at school going, we never knew that side of you. And they've seen that how popular I was in that world. And really at school, I still wanted to just stay hidden. And in order to, I know me and you haven't ever talked about this situation and when this happened, but you know what? It made me realize that you are allowed to be 2B. And that's absolutely fine. Because nowadays, if you see Paul Newton at home, who's a dad and a husband, and mate, me and you, we do chat weekly, okay? And we had one of our chats today, and I'm sat there eating my lunch while me and you are mulling things over and trying to help each other. And you see my lovely wife passing me a cup of tea. And she's the type of person that doesn't want to be seen on any cameras at all. When I'm at home, I'm dad. I'm a husband. When I'm on stage, I'm the idiot and the trilby. And I purposely act a little bit silly, a little bit, oh, I'm going to try this and we're going to try that. And we're going to, fingers crossed, some of it will work. Because by the end of it, everyone in that audience is going, what the hell just happened? How did he get away with that when he was acting like this might not work? And that's where it really kicks in. Because the fact is, if I can be on stage, warn you about the things I do for a living, then still act like the idiot and then get away with it, what can really intelligent people that are staying hidden do?
Indeed.
And that's my story, mate. I'm still a kid who's amazed that he's allowed on stage for a living. You know, I'm still that bloke who goes, when did that book happen? I remember the grief and the late nights and the hardly ever sleeping trying to make it. But I get introduced on stage as an author. I'm not an author. I'm an idiot. From Hayes. So, yeah, mate, I promised you that I would try to keep this concise. In a few minutes, that's the confusion that is Paul Newton.
The, yeah. I like that. The confusion that is Paul Newton. That could be your autobiography.
It's true, mate. You'll understand this, Keith, because I know you get asked this as well. And I get people coming up to me and saying, "Oh, you're so successful at this now. Well, you know, how did you get there? How did you?" I'm still guessing. I'm still guessing constantly. Okay, I have some very good friends who help me try and guess as well as we can. But every single move we make, it's a guess. It's a well-educated guess, but it's all a guess. And there are certain people who I can count on my two hands that if we get an idea that we think could be shattering, that we think could change the way people look at stuff, I'll turn around to that circle of people and say, "I want to try this." Now, sometimes I disagree with them. Okay? And a couple of times I'm right. A lot of the time I'm not. But you know what? I think those people like working with me because I don't care when I'm wrong. You know, and Keith, the crowdfunder for the book, how many times did you tell me that would work?
I lost count the number of times I kept telling you, "Go for it, it's going to work."
How many times do you think I told you there is no way it would work?
Every single time I said that to you, that was your reply. "No, it's not going to work. It would never happen. Yeah. People won't do it."
Ever since that crowdfunder has worked, and when I say worked, I use that very loosely because it smashed the targets.
Certainly did.
In a ridiculous way that I still don't understand. Okay. Ever since we hit the target of £2,000, did you enjoy saying "I told you so"?
I couldn't possibly comment, but yes.
Yeah, if you're listening on a podcast, he has the biggest smile on his face right now. And then when it went past the 4,000, did you enjoy when I hit that full target?
Well, I did give me another chance to say, "See, I really told you so." Yeah.
Yeah. And when the book itself started doing quite well, when it went on the open market, I honestly think you had more belief in it than I did. And do you know what? I'm good with that. Absolutely fine. When I've got good friends around me, rooting for me and wanting things to work, and the price I have to pay is a bit of mocking, bring it. I cannot be happier than having my buddies saying, "I told you so."
Yeah. Because it means it worked, and it means you've got what you were...
Mate,
wouldn't work, but you've got it anyway. So yeah, no, that's a good place to be.
Yeah, and mental the journey of mental theft is by no means stopped.
No,
We seem to have created. You know how much I love the snowball effect when somebody builds that little tiny snowball and then they start rolling it and making it bigger, and then you normally see a drunk person somewhere pushing a 5-foot ball.
Yeah,
because they're just going, "This is just funny now. We're just making it as big as we can, because why not?" I actually think mental theft and the journey... No. I think the journey of Paul Newton is still at snowball stage.
Very much so. I mean, there is, we've talked about this before as well. There are so many avenues out there. This could grow to be something incredibly massive.
And do you know what? I had it yesterday. I was interviewed for a show, and the main focus was mental theft and a bit of Newton's Nuggets. Okay, and they're two very different things. Okay, mental theft is quite serious. It's quite... we need to have a load of fun, and we need the magic in there because the story is working. And we need people to realize this is a serious subject, but if we have fun with it, you're going to learn more. Okay, that's what mental theft is about. Nuggets is about fun and ideas. Okay, it's about what is success to you. That's what the podcast is about. So there's a very definite split. And this interview was talking about mental theft and how well it's gone and where it's going next. And then they talked about Nuggets and talking about that. And then they went, "Oh, and we see that you're going back to magic." And I was like, "What do you mean back? I've not stopped being a magician."
Yeah.
Yeah. And it threw me for a moment, but kind of right. because Mental Theft and Nuggets have taken off and their own little way, and I say little because we're not a multi-million pound business with shed loads of employees, okay? I'm currently fighting as hard as I can because I think we need Mental Theft and Paul Newton needs to go limited. The two things will be very separate, but Mental Theft, I think it can justify an employee now. It doesn't have the bankroll to make sure it's secure. So I'm fighting as hard as I can right now to bring enough money in to make that happen, because I think that's its next step. And I think that person will then help Mental Theft fly even more. Okay. But they're right. That interviewer was right. Everyone now sees Mental Theft, or they see Newton's Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Nobody really sees me as Paul Newton the Magician anymore, which amuses me, because in this next week, I'm booked for 4 gigs. And yeah, I'm like, they're right. I don't promote this much anymore. But it's earning an income that 2 years ago would have been impossible because we were locked down.
Yeah.
4 years ago, I'd have been shocked with, because I wasn't doing well financially. You look around, mate, and all of those silly little choices that I made, all of those times that I turn around to you or to Jesse or to Brad or to Croz or to Pippa or to James or to so many of my business network who each have different skills and different talents that I trust. And I'll ask them, "Hey, what do you think of this?" And they go, "We like this bit. We don't like this bit. We like that bit, and that bit should fly." And I'll ask three people who have talents that I trust, and I'll take their ideas plus mine and go with it or not. Yeah. Mental Theft's going to be big, mate.
It certainly is.
And I don't think I'm going to have control of it for much longer.
That'll be interesting to see where it goes. And you are planning still to continue with, obviously, with Newton's Nuggets. Excellent podcast, yes. Folks. Check it out. And also,
and stop it. I'll have to admit there's more than 8 listeners. If it,
I'm not only saying that because you sometimes sponsor our podcast and because I've been a guest on yours. Newton's Nuggets is a really fun podcast. It's great. Definitely worth checking it out. So do check
it
out.
Thank you very much, bud. And for anyone that's now thinking, well, it's rubbish, it's got 8 listeners. That's a gag that me and Jesse have had for ages, because I don't want to admit how many people might actually listen to the show, because it scares the life out. Okay. So if you go and have a listen, you'll probably hear me telling Jesse it's only 7 or 8 people that ever listen to the show. That's normal. That's normal.
You hope to get it up to that level one day. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
One day I might go to not.
So obviously you're going to continue with Newton's Nuggets. Obviously, yeah. Mental Theft is going really big. Paul the Magician is going to continue, or do you see Paul the Magician retiring, or is that still very much a core of who you are and what you do?
Do you know what? I've had a bit of a weird scare in the last couple of years, which is I do some manipulation stuff with my hands, and I feel my knuckles seizing up or hurting and things like that. Now, I'll be honest, mate, I love doing magic tricks. I love doing the close-up stuff. When you do things on stage, or when you do things for telly, or you do it for YouTube, people will say, "Oh, we were too far away, he cheated because we couldn't quite see."
Yeah.
You know, he cheated because he edited it. So doing the close-up stuff is still my absolute first love, okay? I think the only thing that will stop me doing that is if my hands ever get to a point that I can't do the manipulation anymore.
Gotcha.
And so I'm honestly hoping, Keith, that one day me and you are going to be sat on a couple of deck chairs somewhere, and we'll be like in our mid-80s, and I'll still be doing a weird random magic trick for someone that we've met.
I should be looking forward to that. I will hold you to that. And let's face it, If Paul Daniels can chop the tip off one of his fingers and still carry on doing performing magic, no problem.
Well, Paul Daniels, you know how much of a legend I think that man was. Yeah.
He was amazing.
Yeah, and he inspired me and you, which is, again, weird. So, you know, me and you have only known each other a few years, really. And we both met Paul Daniels early on in our lives. Yeah. And he basically kicked the backside of both of us at very separate times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 I want to finish up with one interesting question. You mentioned that it's been a weird and wonderful journey with lots of things happening along the way. Sometimes you plan them, oftentimes you don't, and they can lead to the biggest fun.
I think Jesse wishes I planned more.
I think Jesse would be even more scared if you did plan. That would be really freaky.
Oh, do you reckon that would freak him out if I turned up at something and just had an itinerary of everything that's going to happen? It'd be
you
like,
you have to do that. What? You have to do that one day.
I hope he doesn't listen to this show, because if he does,
nobody else does. So why would he? Sorry. Where was I? Yes,
seven listeners, mate. Seven.
So yeah, I mean, and you never know where things are going to take. And things could have gone in a very different direction if you hadn't done particular things. For example, if your ex-girlfriend hadn't pushed you into that theatre group and so on. Mental theft, I know, came, it certainly in part, from your mentalism work.
Yeah.
That's what. And you, as a young kid, you got your Paul Daniels magic set and you're doing all your tricks and you built up magic. And you built, and any magician, you build up a repertoire and you build up the kind of areas that you prefer to specialize in, because there are so many different areas of magic.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I know that you love magic as well. And when you're talking to a fellow magician, they understand the many different routes you could have taken within the magic world.
Exactly.
But any layperson goes, oh, you do mind reading? Or the only other option is card tricks. It's like, okay.
Quite. But how differently, or would it have been different, how do you think life might have turned out if you hadn't taken an interest in mentalism, but you had specialised in a different field of magic instead? Or do you think mental theft would always have happened in some way anyway?
Well, no, because if the story that I tell in the book about that military gig where this guy made me realise that using my skills, I could steal a lot of information from companies, that wouldn't have happened.
Mm.
So where would I be? I don't know. Just don't know. I could have been one of those card sharps that manipulate playing cards all the time and absolutely love doing that. Could have gone into illusions instead and been on stage doing the, you know, cut the lady in half type tricks. I don't know, there's just something so magical about making a trick happen inside somebody's own head that I cannot see me of taking a different route.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, if I'd gone a different route, I probably wouldn't have loved it as much as I do. And then you may have been talking to Paul Newton, the accountant, who's still working as in corporate. My word, can you imagine me being an accountant looking after other people's money?
I am struggling.
I shouldn't do that.
Let's be really grateful that you did follow your passion for mentalism, and it did take you down the path that it took you, and it did create mental theft. Because I know already you have saved countless people an incalculable amount of money in terms of the scams that you help them to avoid and the protections you help them to put in place, and your scam of the week, which goes out across pretty much every social media and YouTube and so on.
Yeah. So 12:45 every Monday GMT. I put out a different scam that we've been warned about in the last week or two. And do you know what, mate? I get an absolute buzz when somebody emails me or messages through a social media saying, Paul, we just stopped this scam because they used exactly the script you warned us about. And you just go, that's amazing. Yeah. And then I say, right, can I ask, how much money did you have in that bank account? And they're talking $7,000, $20,000, $50,000. And if you hadn't listened to the free video that I'm putting out that's trying to help people, oh yeah, it's totally believable. You probably would have gone with it.
Yeah.
Mate, that's nuts. That's absolutely nuts. And then on the flip,
we need to get you on TV doing this.
Only if we promise there's only 8 viewers. Okay?
Does that include the director?
Yeah, well, I reckon it could just be the crew in the room.
There you go.
And the people that see it, right?
That sounds good to me.
But then the downside, Keith, is I also get messages from people who say, we've been scammed. Mm-hmm. Can you get my money back? And the truth is, no.
No,
you know, I know loads of ways that I can try and claim it back from the banks or the credit cards or all those people, but they're going to get tighter on that, mate.
Yeah.
They're going to get tighter, and it's going to get to the point soon where if you are the reason that money was lost in any way, shape, or form, it's going to be your fault, and they won't give you the money back.
Mm.
And that hurt. I've just had to, just trying to help a lady who's down about 54,000 bills. Yeah. So we've got a legal team, Rory, that I know very well. He's been on my show. He tries to help people that have been scammed. And him and his team are now going through all of it with a fine-tooth comb, trying to claim my money back. I don't know. I don't know if she'll get it.
It's a murky world out there in many respects, which is why now more than ever, we need people like you to help us keep ourselves safe and avoid these.
Mate, we got this.
Let's hope so. But it's been, as always, an absolute blast chatting with you. I know people are going to want to find out more. They're going to want to find out more, get in touch, find out more about what you do and so on. What is the best way for them to find out more and maybe even get in touch?
Do you know what? The best way, mate, is type mental theft as one word. Anywhere. I mean, social media, I mean, Google, I mean, your favorite web search, whatever, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok even, Instagram. I think we've got pretty much all of them as mental theft. And if you send a message to any of those accounts, it will only go to one of three people. I'm one of those people. The other two are a bit more secret and hidden, but they are trusted in my team.
Nice. So basically, mental theft, all one word, mental theft in your favorite web search engine, your favorite social media, shout it out of the window. It'll make it somewhere. It'll come to you. And also, check out his book, which is, strange enough, called Mental Theft.
Yeah.
Awesome. And we'll pop links to all of that stuff in the show notes, which you'll find, as always, at KeithBlakeMoneyNoble.com/show. Look for the third one with Paul Newton.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much for coming back once again. It's always an absolute pleasure to have you. And we'll have you on series 4, whenever that is.
Well, if your people talk to my people, we'll get something done.
That means I've got to speak to my people to get them to talk to your people.
I've got to find my people.
Oh, fair enough. And on that note, folks, we'll leave it. Thank you, Paul, for being a fabulous guest, as always. Thank you, dear listener, however you're catching this. I hope you enjoyed it. Please share it far and wide. Please remember to subscribe using your favorite podcast platform. And also give us a good rating, because the more that people subscribe, the more people rate it, the more other people will get shown it. So thank you so much, and I will catch you again in another episode very soon. Until then, take care, look after yourself, bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.